From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
This person would call and just talk on and on and every day. Once I even put the phone in the drawer, answered the front door, yes, and came back, the guy was still going. We just carried on like nothing happened. And I recall after a few of these times, you know, and you're always giving your little interjections, yes, hallelujah, oh yes, uh-huh. Finally, after the fifth, sixth, eighth call, I just said, okay, well, I gotta go, okay. And I put the phone down and I said, bonehead. And the Lord just nailed me.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Restoring Closeness. Recently, the Lord spoke to Pastor Wayne about not getting so busy doing ministry that you neglect the most important thing, and that is your time of closeness with God. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Restoring Closeness.
Would you take out your notes with me? And as you are, let me go over a couple of things. Just recently, when you're flying at Mach 4 for so long and doing the things the Lord's asking you to do, everything is going well, but after a while, here's what happened. I started feeling like I lost a sense of holiness, a sense of closeness with God. No, nothing's going wrong. I'm just doing what God's asking me to do. But after a while, you sort of trade ministry for holiness. You trade activity for closeness. And after a bit, you don't realize this, but you're getting further and further and further away. It's like we're sheep, the Bible says, you know, and sheep that are close to the shepherd will never get attacked by the predator because they know the shepherd's there and they stay close. But sheep have a tendency to stray. No, not because they have a cold, calculated strategy to leave the shepherd, but because their head is down eating grass and they don't take time to look up, tuft after tuft of grass. By the time you finally do one day look up, think, bah, where is everybody, you know? But it's not some cold calculated thing. It's not like one sheep says, you know, curly, whatever they call each other, I don't know. What, fuzzy? Hey, let's leave the shepherd. Yeah, boing off. Yeah, let's just boing away here. No, they don't do that. It's just from keeping your head down, and we all go through that, whether it be in family and children and marriage or in business or ministry or just the daily grind. We just one tuft of grass at a time. And then we look around, there's a sense of closeness that has been compromised. And I was just sensing that. I thought, wow, I'm doing everything all right, but it was just that sense of closeness wasn't there anymore. It's in the book of Psalms at the top of our notes that talks about how important this is. And would you read with me right at the top of our notes? Go. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my... Yeah, would you underline the nearness of God is my good? What is it? It's my good. And I've made the Lord God my refuge, a place that I run to. And constantly... the Lord is saying, you've got to come to this place of refuge, and I will give you embrace. I'll give you refuge. But we stray, don't we? Not because we're insidious or evil, but we stray one tuft of grass at a time. But God created us in such a way that when that is compromised, you start to sense it a little bit. Because in the next scripture, Psalm 65, and it's not written out, but let me just quote it to you. It says this, how blessed is the one whom you have chosen to bring near to yourself. And we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. What it's saying is this, what satisfies our souls is not having a bunch of accumulated treasures or materialistic things. What satisfies my soul and yours is being close. That's what it'll say. We're designed like that. That if you're far away from the Lord, nothing is satisfying. You can come to church, this church, 50 times, but if you're not close to the Lord, this is going to be a dissatisfying experience. You'll go away and say, well, that's all right. If you can be a multimillionaire, but if you're not close to the Lord, that stuff is going to rot in your pockets. It's not satisfying. How many of us know multimillionaires that are just discouraged and exasperated and just filled with sorrow because of things falling apart. And there's just not that closeness. You can be an elder of a church, but if you're not close to God, that'll be a dissatisfying experience. You can be a father, a mother, and taking care of kids or being part of a business. But if you're not close to God, something is dissatisfying. It'll never satisfy you. You can be a pastor, but if you're not close to God, that will not satisfy you. You'll always be looking for something more. Because you see, God designed it this way. What satisfies our soul is when we're close with God. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a sense of holiness that I lost. Doesn't mean like I'm on drugs or, you know, I'm on heroin and I just joined a Colombian drug cartel. Nothing like that. But you can sense that drift. And it starts so that when you finally kind of pick your head up, you think, wow, I didn't realize how far I was from you, Lord. And you can feel almost what Peter said when he encountered the Lord and he realized how far he was. And he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And he realized his sense of sinfulness. And here's the thing that really made it worse. You kind of allow things to get in between your relationship with the Lord, and something maybe sticks in your craw. Someone says something or something goes awry. Ah, well, whatever. And you kind of normalize it. And then click, click, and you normalize it. You click, it's not that big a deal. And you normalize it. And pretty soon, you're this far away. And when you finally poke your head up and you see how far you are from the shepherd, you realize, oh, I've drifted a long way. When the Lord showed that to me, I thought, oh, God, I am a long way. Now, how did that get revealed to me? Oh, in several different ways. I was at a pastor's conference just recently, and I heard someone, one of the pastors, talking, and as we were just bantering around, and one of them said something, and I thought, wow, that's really good. That's insight. You got to be close to God to have that kind of insight on that situation. Then I heard somebody else say something, and I thought, man, you got to be close to God to have that kind of a perspective. That's really good. And I heard something someone else said, and somebody else said, and I thought, that's wise. You got to be close to God to have that kind of wisdom. Then the Lord really convicted me and said, that's where you should be. I thought, oh, Lord. Yeah, I have. And there was that kind of that distance, and I sensed, yeah, I was still a part of ministry and all, but there was just that distance. Another time when I was speaking somewhere, we had done a Q&A, and it was a real good time. And when I was done with the Q&A, people gave a standing ovation, and I sat down and at one of the conferences, and one of the pastors said, hey, standing ovation. And I said, that bothers me. And he said, why? I said, because I like it a little too much. And something's funny. And you can just, and it's like the Lord says, lift up your head and see how far. And those things are just little teeny little things. And you think, yeah, and God shows you how far. And this next time that I'm going to express to you was a guy that was calling me all the time. I don't know how he got my home phone, but he'd call and stay on the phone for like an hour. And you're saying, and it's none of you. So don't be thinking, that's you, honey, that's you. You know, it's not this church. It's not this island. It's another lifetime on alien planet somewhere far, far away. So it's none of you. And this person would call and just talk and just on and every day. And I thought, well, how in the world? Yes, hallelujah, God bless you. Once I even put the phone in the drawer, answered the front door, yes, and came back, the guy was still going, yeah, we just carried on like nothing happened. And I recall after a few of these times, you know, and you're always giving your little interjections, yes, hallelujah, oh yes, Well, finally, after about an hour and 15 minutes, finally after the fifth, sixth, eighth call, I just said, okay, well, I got to go, okay, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, you bet, gotta go. Yeah, okay, God bless you, bye. And I put the phone down and I said, bonehead. And the Lord just nailed me. He said, Wayne, you know why you won't go any further right now? It's because you think certain people are boneheads.
And what you are in public is not what you are in private. And the front pages of our newspapers are replete constantly. You'll read about people who are one thing in private and another thing in public. And I believe that our church has an unalienable right to know that their pastor is someone who's close with God and has an intimacy with the Lord. And the Lord said, "You've drifted." I thought, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And I said, "Lord, how does this happen?" And the Lord spoke to me about my sort of my root system, the foundations of my life. In fact, if you look at the next scripture, let's read that Psalm 11 and verse 3 about the foundations. Go. If the foundations destroy, what can even the righteous do if the foundations are compromised? Let me tell you how it all started to come together. I was reading an article by CNN out of March 2004, and it talked about these giant sequoia trees and redwood trees. And this was just recently. I was reading a manuscript, actually, of a pastor friend that was writing about these, and he alluded to this article. And as I was reading it, the Lord just brought everything together. See, the sequoia trees are huge redwood trees. Some are 2,000 years old. They're in California, Yosemite National Park, Northern Cal. And these redwoods are spiring trees over 100 feet tall. The funny thing, though, is 95% of its roots are no deeper than 3 feet deep. However, they'll extend an eighth or a quarter mile in each direction. And in a grove of these sequoias, these gargantuan Goliaths, they will grow in groves, and the root system of different trees intertwine and sort of hold on to one another, so that under this grove of sequoias, it's a huge base, broad base, a foundation. However, a couple of them toppled in Yosemite National Park, and a news journalist caught it, and they talked about this situation. Now listen to this. And I quote, "Two giant sequoias over 400 years old, two trees that put down their roots long before the United States even became a country, fell today. It's the first of these age-old forest titans to fall in years. The trees were located in the Yosemite National Park." Now, park ranger Deb Schweitzer said, and I quote, "Foot traffic around the base of these trees damaged the root systems and contributed to the collapse. So park officials have been surrounding some of the oldest, largest, most historically significant trees with fences, listen, to keep the public from trampling its root systems." And I thought, man. You see, you think about it, hundreds of thousands of tourists every year come to look at these things. And you have hundreds of thousands of feet trampling the root systems that are only 3 feet deep now. What happened was it put a shock to the root system of these trees, and the root systems were compromised and they collapsed. So they started to put around these fences. And I thought, if giant trees that have lived hundreds of years cannot survive, if there is not a sacred enclosure around its root systems, if that's true for trees, how much so for us? That we compromise the root system of our lives, and it really alters our future. We die, we lose our future. And what the Lord spoke to me about was this: Wayne, by protecting your roots, you protect your future. And would you write it in the first bullet there? By protecting your roots, you, here it is, protect your future. That's what God is saying to us. Protect your future. Because that's your birthright. Sort of like Esau, when he thought, it's not that big of a deal. Nah, my future is going to happen anyway. It's not. And he sold his birthright and lost his future. And the Lord is going to speak to us about our root system. So I said, "Lord, how is it that we just, a tuft of grass at a time, kind of stray? Lord, what is that root system for us?" Let me give you these three that after just sitting there and speaking to the Lord and writing in my journal, here are the three things the Lord said, "Wayne, this is your root system, and you've got to put a sacred enclosure around it." It's not always easy because it's not always done. The first I found out was this. Because, you know, you're going at Mach 4 so much, you take a day off, but I was using my Sabbath as a catch-up day. And you know what I was doing? I was violating the Sabbath. And so because I get going so much and there's so many things to do on my Sabbath day, I catch up and I work twice as hard. And then I have to get back to work to get a break from my Sabbath. And the Lord is saying, you know, the reason for Sabbath is that as like sheep, what the reason for the Sabbath, here it is, listen carefully. A Sabbath time is so that you can take time to lift up your head and see where the shepherd is. Check your proximity. How close am I to the shepherd? Because otherwise, if you violate that, you can take the day off. But if you're not lifting your head to see how far you are in your proximity to the shepherd, you can keep going and going and going until all of a sudden, bang, you hit the wall and you realize how far you've drifted. That's why the Lord says, out of 7 days, you take one to desist. And what's the reason? Just to lift up your head and take a look at the shepherd and see how close you are or how far you are. And so that's the reason for the Sabbath. Now let's read what the scripture says out of Exodus 20. Go. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it what? Would you circle that word, holy? What is he saying? Number one, keep the Sabbath and make it a habit. Keep the Sabbath. Get a sacred enclosure around it. But he blessed the Sabbath day and made it what? In other words, listen to this. He created a day, one out of seven. Watch very carefully. You got to see this. One out of seven, he made a day that if we will keep that, because he said this is holy now. If you keep that, he created it so that there will be a sense of holiness when you keep this day. It will restore a sense of holiness. And I was going so much that actually, you know what I did? I pulled out the seventh day and I was continuing. So watch, it's 6 days. Was the seventh day there to reinstate a sense of holiness? No, I actually used that as the first of the next six. And so here it is, going to be kind of strange, but watch this. 6 days, no seventh. And what I did was I just started 6 days again. No seventh, because I violated the Sabbath, and 6 days again. Now, you go six, 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 six. You know what the number of man is? Six, six, six. In other words, what God is saying, man can be defined as those who never take the time to restore a sense of holiness to their lives. Holiness is taken out, and they do everything on their own power. That's man. And man's number is 666. We never get to a point, to that time where we stop and see how close or far we are from the shepherd. It's the least thing in our mind. We're just six and another six and another six and another six and another six. And so God is saying to us, put a sacred enclosure around the root system of our Sabbath day where you can take a moment to see where you are. And what God does is he restores meaning to everything you do in the other 6 days and restores a sense of holiness to it. So it's not just a drudgery and a bore. He restores meaning. In the book called The Practice of His Presence, a monk's name, Brother Lawrence is his name, as a young monk was assigned to a monastery and his ministry, wash dishes. All the other monks, he had to wash their dishes. Breakfast, noon, dinner. And after 3 or 4 days, he thought, this is the stupidest ministry I've ever had. This is crazy. I signed up to be a monk and now they put me washing dishes. I could have done this at a restaurant downtown. And he's washing this real shit. But then the Sabbath day came and he went to services and there was a time of quiet, call it a discipline of silence, where they don't talk to anybody that whole afternoon, and they just sit before the Lord. And it was after about the third hour, he says, that the Lord began to speak to him and said, you can make your daily job a chore and a bore, or you can make every plate that you wash. What if that plate were the plate that you were going to use to serve Jesus himself, who was going to come for dinner? Would you do a haphazard job? Would you make it look terrible? No, wouldn't you wash that really well and not only wipe it, but polish it? Every piece of silverware would be clean and sparkling. He said, then take everything that you do and make it as unto the Lord, that every dish is an offering of praise to the King. Not just another plate. No, this is a chorus of praise. Well, from that, he went back and he said, as I washed every dish, I thought, this one is for the Lord. This one here. And he wiped it and he polished it out. And he said, Lord, this one's for you. And he washed, no, this one's for the Lord. This one's for the Lord. And he polished it. This one's for you. And after he did that with five or six, all of a sudden, he said, the kitchen turned into a sanctuary, a holy place. And the dishes, the clattering of it became a song, a choir of voices to the King, and meaning restored to everything he had done. And it was no longer a chore. It became a chorus of praise. And you see, where do you get the meaning and place it back into what you do in a daily fashion? It's from those Sabbath, the seventh days. Those things that we sometimes use up or throw away, and we fall into sort of man and religion versus men and women who are children of God that are close to the Savior and the Shepherd, that he can give re-input meaning. He can re-input the sparkle of what we do every day is unto the Lord. First, he says, put a sacred enclosure around the root system of number one, your Sabbath day, so that he blessed it and made it holy, because that's a day that as you keep it will reinstore a sense of holiness to your life and what you do. Don't violate that. And then the second thing that the Lord spoke to me was this. You know, as you get going in daily life, everything is sort of planned out for you. If you're a mom, you get up in the morning, you know what you have to do. The alarm goes off. You got to do this, do that, do this, and this. And every single day. Dad, the same thing. Every single day. And what happened was, I was getting up and just going about my business, and everything, I didn't need to pray that much about it. You know why? Because everything was lined out for me. I just kind of just jump into it. But the Lord spoke to me about the fact that if I just maintain everything, because I thought, you know, you start spinning the plate, and after a while, you don't need to pray about it. Just spin the thing. Just spin that one. I mean, everything, you just spin it. I don't need to pray about it. Just spin the thing. But what happened was, as time went on, I was reaching my destination, but the closeness with God was being compromised along the way. Because you see what prayer is? Prayer is keeping my heart close to Him while I'm journeying towards my destination. Otherwise, during this time towards our destination, you'll get there, but you know what'll happen? See all of this time? You'll lose that because we're not close to God. And you know what'll happen? When there's not that much prayer going on, it becomes a time that's very vulnerable, so that I sort of have a tendency to exchange my faith for my destination. How many businessmen will exchange their family for success, exchange their marriage or closeness in their marriage for success, because they've got to exchange it. They got to auction off their kids for success. But the Lord said, Wayne, if you will, and here, would you write in number two, reinstate the importance of prayer. If you'll reinstate the importance of prayer, I will get you to your destination, because I'll take care of that. That's not your doing anyway. It's mine. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. I'll take care of this part. You take care of from here to here. Because if not, if you don't stay close to me, that will be a time that'll be vulnerable to the enemy's attacks. And you'll have a tendency to start exchange your faith, your morality. You compromise things, and you'll exchange it for destination. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to a definition of success. Success is not getting to your destination. Success is what you become by getting to your destination. Because a lot of people get there, but they're absent in their souls. They've traded their souls. That's why the Bible says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul. You know what prayer does? It keeps your soul intact.
You have just heard a message entitled Restoring Closeness by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. Until the same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.